Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
Southern Miss fans know the number one stop for Golden Eagle apparel is Campus Bookmart on Hardy Street in Hattiesburg. Baseball, basketball, football, Campus Bookmart has it covered with clothing to fit the young and old, big and small Golden Eagle in your family. You can visit the store on Hardy Street, shop online at campusbookmart.net, or call in your order and have it mailed to your front door. However you choose to buy, always visit Campus Bookmart first. You won't be sorry. Campus Bookmart and Southern Miss, to the top.
Roll free record on my count. 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2. Roll A, fade up on A.
Southern Miss to the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, let's go. Monday edition of the Super Talk Eagle Hour. We talk Southern Miss baseball here every Monday. Today will be no exception. We're broadcasting from the Southern Bancorp Studios in Hattiesburg and Laurel, Bob, Kelly, and Luke. Happy to have sat with the Southern Bancorp guys yesterday at the baseball game. Enjoyed that. Daniel Stewart will be on the show tomorrow, but it's Monday, and that means we bring on Coach Oz. Opening segment sponsored by Dickey's Barbecue Pit, big supporters of Southern Miss baseball, and a great place to take your family the next time you want a great meal. All right, so the Golden Eagles square off with a highly rated Indiana State. They come away with the series win, winning Friday and Saturday before dropping a Sunday afternoon contest to Indiana State. Coach Christian Ostrander joins us every Monday. And, Coach, before we break the three games down, just your general thoughts about the weekend's activities at the Peak.
Yeah, well, very thankful for, you know, for the series win. I mean, that's something we needed, and, you know, that was our main objective. And, you know, but when you get yourself, when you win those first two of that weekend and you put yourself in a position to have a chance for the sweep, and it's that close, you know, it's, yeah, a little frustrating. You don't get it, but at the same time, I mean, it was, you know, it's baseball, and we got to regroup and get ready for the next one.
Well, Friday night's when it all started. Great atmosphere at the Pete. A lot of excitement about this series. Nico Mazza comes up with a career-best 7 innings, just a run, 3 hits, a walk, and 8 strikeouts. He goes to 2-0 in the season. Coach, it was kind of a game where we saw everything. We saw a great pitching performance by Mazza. We saw an inside-the-park home run. We saw fog. We saw everything. Have you been in an environment quite like that where the weather changed so quickly?
I can't really say I have. It was, I remember seeing it start moving in and didn't think a whole lot of it at that point when I started feeling like it was getting a little foggy. I didn't anticipate it being game changing, and thankfully, you know, we were able to weather that storm, I guess, no pun intended, and we took advantage of it, and they did too. It's just ours happened to go out. We got, you know, 4 bags instead of 3. So, right. But it is what it is.
All right, Coach, what did you like about the ball club Friday night in that performance?
Well, definitely, you know, Nico matching their guy. Their guy was good. He was a bona fide Friday night, you know, ace, and as advertised, and we knew it, and we knew that, you know, we were going to have to match that, you know, and to win some of those Friday night games like that and keep the score close. So, so proud of what Nico did of doing that and just really matching him.
Right. It was really good baseball game. And then Saturday, I was so impressed with your combination of pitchers, Billy Odom, Colby Allen, J.B. Middleton. I mean, your relief staff came in, really got the job done, and another good performance by Billy Odom.
Yeah, it was another, you know, another well-pitched game. You know, Billy, I thought, pitched very well. You know, they made him earn some things for sure. And then get a guy like Colby coming in and covering, you know, the 6th, 7th, and 8th, I believe it was, and putting up some goose eggs. And then JB getting the final 3 outs. So it was, you know, kind of how you want to draw it up. Doesn't always work that way, but very thankful it did.
Yeah, but Coach, Colby Allen has just been lights out every time you've called on him, hadn't he? He's off to a great start.
He is. He's, you know, you know what you're going to get out of him, and he's been very consistent, and that's all I can ask for.
All right, so you get seven hits from Dalton McIntyre, Slade Wilkes, Carson Pato. Pato had really a big day. Got the bats going a little bit. 10 total hits on Saturday.
Yes, and we knew it was going to take some time to get all rolling and stuff, and but very pleased with that offensive production and really all weekend. I thought we had to earn everything because there's a lot of good arms on that staff from Indiana State all weekend, and so you didn't have a whole lot of gimmies. You had to earn every hit that you got.
Right. And kind of a reverse, Coach. Saturday, the Golden Eagles jump out 4-0 and Indiana State's just never really able to overcome that. Then it reverses Sunday, where Indiana State jumps out for five early, and even though the Golden Eagles got it back down to three, just really in the end couldn't overcome that first inning.
No, baseball has a way of doing that. I mean, it takes a lot of things that you have to do really well to get down by five runs or more margin and come back and win that game. You got to hit. You got to defend, and you got to pitch, and so you got to have all three of them doing really good, and keep another team down. And it was just hard. We didn't overcome it, and hopefully we will learn from that. And next time we have that deficit, that we can. And we've had a few moments this year where we come back from deficits, but that was a pretty steep one there. A 5-0 start, and before we ever swing the sticks.
Yeah, but Coach, in the eighth inning, Ozzie Pratt barely missed what could have been a big hit into center field that would have scored at least two runs, and a good catch by the Indiana State kid. But, man, your guys fought back. They certainly never stopped fighting.
Well, no, I appreciate that, and we feel the same. We were proud of that. As tough as it was, I was disappointed, but I wasn't mad. Will Armistead, he's going to get back on that horse and be just fine. They did a good job, and they were opportunistic and whatever. So, you got to have a short-term memory, in this game, as we know. But but I thought the guys really did battle and competed. And, and we had, I think every game we've played now, 12 of them, I think we're learning a little bit more after each one.
Yeah. I'll tell you somebody I'm learning about, Coach. I met him out here at the radio station before the season started. But that's Dalton McIntyre. He was 6 of 11 this weekend. And I thought very dynamic as your leadoff hitter.
No doubt. He brings quite a bit to the table. He's a plus defender in center. He's got enough arm to throw guys out, which he's come close this year doing that a time or two. And then at the plate, obviously he's got great speed. He can make things happen. He's got a knack. He's got a hand-eye coordination gift that it might not look pretty from the stands. You might think, well, that's an ugly swing. That's it doesn't look pretty. Well, our goal with him and what we encourage him to do, try to hit that ball on the ground and run it out. Do that, and that's I'll high five him every day if he hits a ground ball to shortstop, and because he's going to come out on top a lot more times than not. Very proud of what he's been doing, and hope he continues to build off that.
No question. One of many new faces that really appears to be playing very well for the Eagles. Kelly, get in here.
Coach Oz, I want to ask you, how accurate do you think the gun is that flashes the miles per hour the pitches are throwing? Because, man, when I was there Friday night, they were throwing some 92s and 90s, and, man, it looked faster from where I was sitting.
Well, I think it's pretty accurate. Okay. If anything, it might be in mile an hour slow, depending. That's a Daktronics versus TrackMan, so however you want to look at it, but it's pretty close.
And I wanted to ask you, Middleton was getting up there in the mid-90s, and it seems like when you look at the old days, so to speak, when, 86 or 87, maybe 90, you were topping. Now you got guys topping out 90. Is it possible that maybe with science and technology, food and nutrition, that in another 20 years, guys are going to be throwing 100 and 102 on a regular basis?
I wouldn't if the last 4 or 5 years are any indication. I wouldn't be surprised it could happen. It's really crazy, but there's so much. I think bodies are stronger. I don't know what's in the food we're eating, but there's something that's making things happen. And and the training mechanisms and the tools and all that stuff, I think they're greater. And so I think it's just kind of the involvement of some things. And what's the threshold? I have no idea.
And final question that I've got, even though we're early in the season, Tell me something that has surprised you about your team so far, and maybe something conversely that you learned that maybe is not something, you know, that you anticipated on a negative side that maybe you thought would be better.
That's a tough question. Yeah. Surprised, I can't sit here and say I'm surprised at anything,
okay.
You know, because I'm kind of, I don't expect, you know, I just, I don't know, very, I don't get too far ahead, you know,
yeah.
And just really encourage these guys to just go out there and play the game and compete against the game more than anything. But, things that I wish we'd be better at or, you know, would like to see a little further along, obviously, you know, just a little more. More run production when the opportunity's there. And I say that, you know, on the reverse side, I know it's other teams trying to prevent you from doing that. So it's a two-way street. But, that aspect of it, and then the pitching part, I still have some guys I need to see out there, and that's on me. I look forward to, you know, I'm surprised I haven't got all of them out. Maybe there you go if you want to know what I'm surprised about. But, you know, but we communicate with them. They're keeping themselves ready, and we got a lot of games left to play, and we need everybody.
We're talking to head baseball coach Christian Ostrander. We'll get Luke Johnson involved in the conversation. Other side of the break, continue our Golden Eagle baseball talk on the Super Talk Eagle Hour next.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
Southern Miss to the top. To the top. You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour.
All right, the official auto dealer of the Eagle Hour. It is Genesis of Hattiesburg. Genesis sedans and SUVs are the finest vehicles on the road today. Coming soon, the all-new Genesis showroom on Highway 98 West in Hattiesburg. Matt Grubbs owns Genesis of Hattiesburg. He's a big supporter of Golden Eagle baseball, like all of us are. This segment is sponsored by Campus Bookmart and CampusBookmart.net on Hardy Street. You can shop them 24/7 at CampusBookmart.net. I suggest you go visit Miss Kathleen, the nicest lady in the world, and to buy your Southern Miss baseball apparel right there at Campus Bookmart.
Baseburg, right?
Yes, that's it. We've got the coach Christian Ostrander with us right now talking about the weekend series win over Indiana State. Luke, get in here with Coach.
Coach, I want to talk to you on the offensive approach. I've heard from several people, and just in passing, the Golden Eagles seem to be more patient at the plate this year. Already, you are 25%. You already have 25% of through 12 games of the total walks last year. And, like, just Wilkes, per se, last year, his strikeout to walks, he struck out more than double this year, 10 strikeouts, 10 walks. And was that an emphasis in the offseason?
Yeah, it was. I think, you know, Coach Creel and Coach Brewer, Coach Rhodes have done a great job with, really working on that aspect and preaching that aspect. And you want it to be part of your identity as an offensive club. And, so I think they definitely that's been good. It can be sometimes it can be a little, you don't want them. There's a threat. There's a line there, you know, that you don't want to be so passive, and when to be passive, when to be aggressive. And stuff, but I have been very encouraged with, overall, really, you know, the strikeout numbers down and the walk numbers are up. That's a good thing. Now we just got to get them in, get the big hit.
Yeah, that's what I want to ask you about second is about those big hits, basically all four losses and some of the closer games that we've won. You look at it and there's a double digit, you know, left on base. And so many times yesterday, you didn't get that big hit. Is part of that early in the season, is part of that, you know, some things you guys have to change in the approach?
Well, I think it's part of both. I think it's early and the more opportunities you get, you're going to start cashing in. But I also think it's something that it's got to be, it's on that young man. You know, he's got to make sure that his, you know, mentality and the confidence level and the approach and being able to slow that game down in his mind, he's got to take ownership of that. We talk about it all the time, and you can say, but ultimately they got to make sure they get up there and do those things. And to me, that comes with more experience. I think once you're in those moments more, some of these guys being their first time, and, you know, whether it's at the Pete or was at Biloxi when it was, you know, so loud and so many people, they got to learn to use that for them and not against them, if you know what I'm saying. Don't allow themselves to get sped up and just kind of get out of control. So I think it's something they'll learn to get better at, and it's also baseball that, you know, it's a hard game too. So you just can't – you're not going to get it every time.
One of those young men that's come up with some key hits, had some multi-base hits yesterday, Seth Smith, and – you know, as a true freshman coach, Golden Eagles fans being able to see, you know, what he's capable of. But he's had some timely hits in the first 12 games of the season.
He really has. You know, he's I think he's done a tremendous job. And, you know, we're so proud of, you know, what Seth has done to this point. And I know his hitting coaches are, and I am as well. And, you know, I think he's going to continue to grow. We can see it every day, you know, with what he's doing. And we all believe that he's just going to keep getting better with every pitch that he sees and every game that he plays.
Bob?
Coach, I think it's easy as a fan to get involved in wins and losses and sort of overlook how young this baseball team is and how many new faces are on the baseball team. And I know that you've changed your lineup pretty consistently, you know, looking for the right guys in the right position. Is that something that you would anticipate continuing to do on into the season, or will there be a point, Coach, where you settle on your first, I don't know, 10 or 11 guys, and that would be the direction you would anticipate going?
Well, I believe so. I believe you have to get to that point. Are you hopeful that you do? Or, you know, you'd kind of be in trouble. And I think some things are starting to solidify. I think you can look around and see some of that. I think there still can be, you know, a couple moving parts and pieces with that. And whether it maybe it's a matchup, whether it's, you know, it's a lefty versus a righty starting against you, or, you know, just try to put guys in positions to be successful and make sure the matchups are working. But I like where we're at. 12 games ago to this point. I mean, it's, you know, I know a lot more. We know a lot more, and we feel like we're starting to see what we need to see.
Coach, if you've had some lineups where you have a middle part of the lineup, third, fourth, fifth. You got Slade Wilkes, you got Carson Pato, you got Billy Butler, all batting back to back to back. I mean, that right there could be heavy hitting alley if all three of those get tuned in at the same time, right?
No doubt, it could be a very, you know, difficult lineup to navigate, and that's what you want to create. You know, a lineup to where the other team is going, saying, you know, man, that's long, that's tough. Yeah. You know, you got to earn everything through there, and we believe we have that potential. You know, we do, and I think we've grown in these first 12 games, and 12 more into it, I think we're going to grow even more, and just look forward to seeing, you know, what that can mean.
I think, you know, that Eagle fans in the future, you know, Bob, you talked about this team being young, and just me kind of looking in, you know, more and more guys, as this program continues to get better every year, it seems, that you're going to lose guys every year to the draft, you know, that would normally have eligibility left, you know. So when you're talking, you know, that might be something that's one of the things that I guess that's good about, or bad but good at the same time, if you know what I mean, about a program, you know, yeah, getting that good. But now, Coach, you got Mississippi State tomorrow, then you got to play your old boss, Lane Burrows and the Bulldogs, and I'm sure
undefeated Bulldogs, I think.
A lot of Bulldogs this week, whether it's Mississippi State or La Tech.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, no doubt. We look forward to tomorrow. You know, most important game of the year is tomorrow, and that's all we're thinking about right now. And we look forward to going and competing and at Trustmark and Jackson in front of our fans from up that area, and great opportunity for us.
And Coach, then, I do have a question about that, though, the approach. Mm-hmm. We have played, I think six quad one teams so far. We're 4-2 against quad one. And when you play an SEC opponent, much less Mississippi State, you want to win. Obviously, there's so much there. And for all of us, it's just, you know, bragging rights. For you, it's who cares about that? You just want to win. But approaching, because we're going to have several of these SEC midweek games. And you mentioned earlier about wanting to get guys out there. How does that factor in with who you pitch, how long they pitch, knowing that you want to win at the same time, you know, these are midweek games?
Well, you know, we're going to do everything that we do, every decision that we make, will be towards, you know, winning and the confidence in those young men. But invariably, there will be some guys, especially on the mound, that their first time might very well be tomorrow, and if not then, or this weekend and stuff. So, you know, is there ever, you know, a great time, easy time, best time for your first? You know, to me, that's irrelevant. So, you know, but now, you know, for us to be where we want to be at the end, I know we can't just, you know, use the same arms or same scenarios over and over and over again. You got to spread it out, and then some of these guys need to continue to grow or show us more of what they can do or cannot do. And, you know, so I look forward to challenging these arms to, you know, be ready for your moment and you know, run to the fire and get ready to go compete.
Coach, can you tell us now who's going to start for you tomorrow night?
I can't right now. I sure can't. I will after practice. I sure could, though, if that's okay.
But, well, I'm going to be at practice, so you feel free to tell me when. free to tell me. Coach, I do want to ask you this. Three games down at Louisiana Tech, and I know there's this long, really, really deep friendships between a lot of you men that are involved in the baseball programs. Would you anticipate that would be something annually, that maybe next year we'd see them here three games? Would you anticipate a continued relationship between the programs?
I sure would. Yes, I would. There's a lot of respect for, you know, as people, as men, as coaches, and it's fun competing against, you know, it's like competing against your brother. You know, you love them after it's over, but you want to beat them so bad. You know, it's kind of fun. But no, it's just a good program, and anytime we can continue to play good programs, we want to try to do that.
But this time you go back as the head coach of Southern Miss, Coach Oz. Is that a little different feeling? And is Louisiana Tech a little different than just your average team you're playing?
Yeah, I mean, you know, just because I spent a little time there, maybe. But to me, it's more exciting now, you know, being the head coach, and because it's a blessing, you know, and I look forward to it. Just like, you know, every game I get to put this uniform on as, you know, as a head coach is a blessing, and I'm very thankful for it.
Well, we're off to an awesome start, Coach. I think it's just going to be a really fun and exciting year, and congratulations on the big weekend series win, and we'll look forward to watching your guys tomorrow night.
All right. Appreciate you guys.
All right. Christian Ostrander, everybody. Head baseball coach at Southern Miss.
Bill, Bob and Kelly, can't we just say we love Lane Burrows, but not this weekend?
Yeah, this will be this weekend, use an old term, this will be one of them slobber knockers all weekend down there.
And, you know, La Tech's got some local flavor. Troy's got local. A lot of these other teams around the area, you've got Mississippi kids, you know.
But we love this, Kelly.
But
they
not
ain't
this
played
weekend.
Us yet.
Southern Miss to the top.
Town & Country Cleaners is Hattiesburg's most trusted dry cleaners. They're family-owned and operated since 1983, and they offer services including steam pressing, shirt laundry, bulky bedding, minor alterations, and, of course, dry cleaning. You can visit Town & Country Cleaners at their convenient location across from USM on Hardy Street. You can call them at 601-264-4920. This segment of the show is sponsored by 4th Street Bar & Grill. Slay the guys. They'll... I don't know if the game tomorrow night is on TV. If it is, I'm sure it'll be at the 4th Street Bar and Grill. But irregardless, it's just a great place to enjoy good food, good drink, and a lot of good friendship right there in the shadow of the Rock.
And Wednesday night, Bob, they are going to have trivia this week. So Booty's putting together questions as we speak. So if you're a big trivia buff, Straight up trivia.
Who did Mississippi State play this last weekend in baseball and sweep?
Mount St. Mary's. The Fighting Nuns of Mount St. Mary's and Mississippi State pounded them. Pounded them.
Sally Field, the mascot.
Oh, they should be embarrassed. They should be embarrassed. They're Taj Mahal up in Starkville, and they're going to play Mount St. Mary's. Give me a break.
Where is Mount St. Mary? That's
in
California.
Maryland.
Oh, see, I thought, that's Loyola Marymount.
Yeah, this is like a little 3,000-student Catholic school in Maryland, but the Bulldog gave them that SEC pound down, buddy. All right, enough of that. All right, we'll talk about basketball here in just a moment. All-conference team out. Dom Davis, no surprise, the player of the week last week. And Joy Lee McDellis will be on the show tomorrow. The girls doing good, 17-12 going into the tournament. I think they can really make some noise. But let's go back to baseball for just a minute. This is one man's observation. After 12 games, the team is 8-4. Could very easily, I think, be 10-2. Playing really good competition after the first weekend. Lots of young players, lots of freshmen. It seems like every time there's a crucial spot, it's a freshman that comes up to bat. But, boy, these kids are growing up. They're tenacious. They never gave up yesterday. And, Luke Johnson, I'm going to predict right now this is going to be one good baseball season by the time this is said and done.
It is, and I was interested, you know, ask Oz about the approach at the plate, and I appreciated it was what he said, because there is a trade-off. So the numbers that were in my head, just so you know, last year Golden Eagles walked 316 times the entire season. Right now through 12 games, they are at 77 walks, which is 25%. They are way ahead of schedule. I mentioned Wilkes' numbers. But all four losses, 12 runners left on base, 11 runners left on base, the Nichols game this past week, 10 runners left on base, yesterday 11 runners left on base. And if you remember what Oz said, he said there is a trade-off that sometimes you can't be wait and not be aggressive, because sometimes, Kelly, you know this, coaching baseball all these years, I mean, sometimes the best pitch you see is the first one in the count. And yesterday, I mean, what, three or four innings, maybe even more than that, there were runners in scoring position, and we struck out or we, you know, got out to end the inning and leave those players on. You take away, you know, the five spot in the first inning, and by the way, Armstead responded great, struck out the side after giving that up. You know, it's a different ballgame yesterday. So for me, it is I am now looking at two stats when the Eagles win or lose. I'm looking at left on base, and I'm now really intrigued about this walk, because Oz said that it was a focused area in the offseason to be more patient at the plate.
It is a tough line that you have to walk there, because your point is well taken. Pitchers want to get ahead of the hitters. There's something called first pitch focus, where they want to make sure that first pitch is over the plate, because statistically, when you get ahead of a hitter 0-1, those percentages are heavy on the pitcher's side as far as getting that person out. So they want to get ahead in the count. So what do they usually come with on that first pitch? Is a fastball. And most every guy at this level can hit the fastball. The deeper you get into a count, you know, the more you just have no way of knowing, which makes the pitcher, you know, when the pitcher throws three or four different pitches, you have to hit the pitcher's pitch. It makes it a lot more difficult. So there is that fine line.
Yep. All right, tomorrow night, the Eagles take on Mississippi State. As you know, State is 8-4, 2-1 against Air Force, 0-2 against Austin Peay.
Good old PU.
3-0 against Mount St. Mary's,
2-0 against Georgia Southern, 1-0 against Jackson State, and 3-0, baby, against Mount St. Mary's.
Just when you thought it was safe to go back on the field.
Mount St. Mary's.
Sounds like a Jaws right. Sequel.
That's enough.
Guess what? Unfortunately, the Lady Eagles lost Friday night, a one-point defeat in overtime to Louisiana. But guess what? Taxes are coming up next month, and Dom Davis scored 20-plus points again. 23 points in the one-point overtime loss to the Lady Raging Cajuns. That makes it now in 28 games.
Yep.
Dom has scored 20 or more, 15 times this
season. She's awesome.
in 28 games.
Lady Eagles play Wednesday at 5 o'clock against the winner of Coastal Carolina and South Alabama. The Lady Eagles are 17-12, really one of the best teams in the league the last half of the year, 10-8 in conference play. And I just tell you guys, I think this team is certainly capable of making a lot of noise in the playoffs. I think they have a really good shot.
Both the women's and men's team are seeded sixth in the tournament that begins in Pensacola tomorrow. Yes, tomorrow. Now, you're thinking, oh, well, does that mean Selection Sunday? Is this coming Sunday? No, the Sun Belt tournament is played a week earlier than most of the other tournaments. But Southern Miss, as Bob just mentioned, will play the winner of Texas State and Old Dominion. And that'll be, as he mentioned, at 5 o'clock on Wednesday.
No, that's the men play the winner of Texas State and Old Dominion.
Oh, wait a minute. I got my Thursday. Sorry about that. Thursday. Sorry about that. Yeah. Yeah, the women will play Coastal and South Al. Right.
Correct.
Okay, and then the winner of that game would face JMU.
Right.
In the next round. And that would be on Friday, March 8th. Right. So don't want to put the cart ahead of the horse.
And the winner of the men's game would play Troy.
Yes, who's the three seed. But both of the men and the women are in the bottom part of that bracket. And if you had to draw it up, I'd rather be in the bottom part of the bracket.
Yeah. Men avoid App State. I mean, we're on the complete other side.
Yeah, and the women avoid Marshall. So, and the men, you know, the men, like I said, Troy and James Madison, well, they've beaten each of those teams.
And I get this about the men. I mean, I know they've suffered a lot of injuries this year. And then you lose your coach, and there's no way to really gauge how badly that would affect your team to lose your head coach. Who, by the way, I read reports that indicate he's planning to coach this week in the tournament. We'll see. Just want him to take care of himself. But the men are so inconsistent. I heard Luke say last week, which team shows up? Amen, Luke. I mean, you just have no idea how they're going to play from game to game.
Yeah. I was, you know, the other night, it's just, it was, they get in a hole, and then they try to dig out, and it's just really hard.
But because of the injuries, too, the lineup, you know, the lineup changes from game to game. You know, it's been so difficult to develop any type of consistency because the players that you've had available literally change from day to day based on injuries, you know, other situations that have taken place, mainly injuries, though. So it has been difficult. But look, let's be clear about this. The men and the women need to perform this week. Because this is going to be the thing about it.
It's a brand new season.
Right.
Yeah, the seeds are important. But everything you've done up to this point counts to a point. But it's a brand new season. And you go out there and you win several games and you're in the NCAA tournament.
And because of what you pointed out earlier this year, Luke, that the way the NIT and so on has changed their selection criteria, it's all or nothing pretty much for the men and women's teams at Southern Miss. You win this tournament or you go nowhere. And so this could potentially be, you know, the end of the road. So this is where we talked about you got to play well in the Sun Belt tournament. Well, here we go.
I do want to just mention something in passing. So Bob mentioned the all-conference awards on the women's side came out today. Both Dominique Davis and Malia Grayson are on the Sun Belt Conference all-conference teams. Dominique, first team, or we should say Dominique Davis.
Right.
She's on the first team. All Sun Belt, Malia Grayson on the third team. I just want to put this out there. So I know that point totals aren't everything. Dom right now is averaging 19.9 points a game. So essentially, for the season, y'all, 20 points a game. Sun Belt Player of the Year from Marshall, Abby Beeman, averaged 16.8, 3 points less. Had slightly more rebounds. If you have a preseason player of the year who averages 20 points a game, seems like to me she should be player of the year, but that's just me.
But how many times does it go to a person that's on the first place team? And Marshall, rightly or wrongly, that's usually the way it goes.
And isn't it amazing how Dom's basically been playing at like 80% all year, and she's still averaging 20 points a game with all the injuries.
All right, we'll be right back. First, how about a little Inagata DeVita?
Baby Iron Butterfly. Is this the short version?
This is the fight song to Mount St. Mary's.
Robinson Electric Supply in Laurel is a wholesaler and distributor that has been powering our community for over 20 years. With everything from conduits to tape, tools to home automation devices, if you can think of it, we supply it. All you need to do is talk us through the project at hand, and we'll ensure you're equipped to get it done right. To get all the electrical supplies you need, visit Robinson Electric at 519 North 13th Avenue or call us at 601-649-1317.
You're tuned in to the Eagle Hour. The Eagle Hour. Southern Miss to the top.
Final segment on this Monday, brought to you by DBAT in Hattiesburg. DBATHattiesburg.com. They've got always something on the calendar coming up. Hours Monday through Friday, 12 p.m. to 9 p.m. Saturday, 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. and Sunday, 12 p.m. to 6 p.m. Everything there on Hardy Street. Get your game on, baseball, softball, training, and much more. DBAT in Hattiesburg. Over the weekend, Lady Eagle volleyball team goes 2-2 down at the Tiger Beach Challenge in Baton Rouge. They defeat Houston Christian and Central Arkansas while falling to Texas A&M, Corpus Christi, and Tulane. 4-4 overall. They will get ready to head to Long Beach, California this coming weekend for the Beach Invitational. Softball was in Starkville really since Thursday for the Bulldog Invitational presented by C Spire. Lady Eagles go 3-1, lose to Mississippi State, defeat Samford, Alcorn State, and Samford. So defeat the Lady Bulldogs of Samford twice. We're supposed to take on Alcorn on Friday night, but that game got canceled. Lady Eagles now, Coach Poole's troops, 8-9 overall, and they will look to win against Southeastern on Wednesday down in Hammond at 6 p.m. Baseball, of course, takes a series from Indiana State. Right now, Eagles, I think they're right around the 100 mark in RPI, but 4-2 in quad one wins. And so that's really good. All right, Golden Eagle football schedule officially drops. Here we go. August 31st at Kentucky. September 7th, Southeastern Louisiana. September 14th, South Florida, both of those games at home. September 21st, all these are Saturdays so far, at Jacksonville State. Louisiana, get a bye week, and then play Louisiana on October the 5th at home. That game on October the 5th against the Cajuns is a Saturday game. The next Saturday at Monroe, the following Saturday, Archie State at home. 10-26, big game at James Madison. Eagles then get another bye week, and they finish this way, guys. Saturday, November 9th, Marshall at home. Saturday, November 16th, at Texas State. Then the next two Saturdays, South Alabama at home, at Troy. That is the 2024 football schedule.
That's a backloaded schedule as far as
year second in a row, where the second half is wild.
And Bob, by the way, you know, we've been making fun of Mount, and I've been getting my phones.
What is the mascot?
The Mountaineers.
Mount St. Mary, the Mountaineers.
The Mountaineers, but I've been getting several texts admonishing you for making fun of Mount St. Mary's.
No, I'm not making fun of them. I'm making fun of the mighty SEC team that had the audacity to play them three games.
Well, the Bulldogs, this is certainly going to help their RPI because Mount St. Mary's is now 1-9.
Is that right? Well, good for the Bulldogs.
They beat MIT. the Massachusetts.
That wasn't a debate, Institute. Right? That was a baseball game, correct.
1-9 in baseball.
Yeah. Hey, so. I need to correct something. Yeah. That was not in a God of debate. This is terrible to me. That, of course, was Deep Purple playing Smoke on the Water. You remember that one.
I do, but you had me going, too. And you know,
yeah, you were actually singing in a God of the Beat, and I realized what a terrible mistake I did.
And the long version, and that was the
yes.
Before American Pie came along, you younger
people. Look, I didn't
know
who that Live a La Vida Loca band that you just said, but I did know that they did not play Smoke on the Water. I knew that.
It's sad.
So I just... You know, I just kind of roll with
it. Yeah, in a God of
the listeners, that's what happens on this show, okay?
Yeah.
When they make references that I have no idea what they're talking about, I'll just roll on.
Yeah.
Hey, real quick, forgot to do Sunbelt over the weekend. Texas State defeats Houston and Texas loses to LSU. ODU takes 2 of 3 from Charlotte. Coastal Carolina wins 2 over Liberty. JMU sweeps Cornell. Marshall, 2 of 3 over Manhattan. Arkansas State falls 2 of 3 games to Missouri State. Georgia State sweeps Western Carolina. Louisiana lost 3 games to Vandy, LSU, and Houston. The Fighting Campbells of Campbell defeat Georgia Southern 2-1. App State takes 2 of 3 from Southern Illinois. ULM takes 2 of 3 from Incarnate Word. Northwestern State takes 2 of 3 from Troy, and South Alabama defeats UNC Wilmington 2-1.
There we go. Daniel Stewart, give us his analysis of the weekend baseball games tomorrow. Joy Lee McNellis will be kicking off the show with us as the ladies, I'm sure, would be in Pensacola tomorrow. I'm sure they must be going to Pensacola today.
And we're hoping to have some live reports maybe from the convention center in Pensacola as the Sun Belt tournament wears on.
Yep. It should be fun. We'll be back on the air tomorrow at 1 o'clock. Real quickly, want to thank Mo Bay Beignet Company, 2902 Hardy Street in Hattiesburg, for all they do with us. We're really grateful for them. And remind you about the Super Talk Eagle Hour podcast. You can hear it on Apple, Audible, Spotify, Stitcher, TuneIn, or you can tell Alexa to play the Super Talk Eagle Hour. And we'll have some baseball players on the show as well this week. I'm going to go to practice this afternoon and grab.
Greatly appreciate our new listenership from Mount St. Mary's. They'll catch us on podcast.
The Fighting Nuns, baby. Carry on.
Mountaineers to the... No, wait a minute.
No.
That's Eagles.
It would be Hail Mountaineer.
Yeah,
that's
there you go.
Hail Mountaineer.
There you go. Something like that. How about we just settle for...
I sure hope we beat Mississippi State tomorrow night. After
we're going to hear about it. Hey, Southern Miss.
To the top.
To the top.
Like an eagle to the sea.
Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.